Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
KVUE's time is 8:26. It is Newsmaker 2 time here on a Tuesday. We're pleased to have with us USD 252 Southern Lyon County Superintendent Mike Argerbright joining us on the KVUE Sutherland studio line today.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's it going so far today?
So far, so good.
Outstanding. Well, this is about the time of year where we traditionally start bringing superintendents on with us on the morning show to give us a kind of a academic year update, talking about the change from fall semester to spring semester, some of the different things that are going. And I guess, Mike, let me just ask you the basic overarching question is, how has the first semester gone here for you in broad spectrum, you know, 30,000-foot range look?
Academically, very, very well. And appreciate our staff and all the efforts that go into just giving to the students and providing the services and the education that we need to. From a COVID standpoint, it's been probably a more challenging year than last year, to be very honest, and making things happen and work and a little higher infection rates. But, again, a compliment to our staff and all the people that make things happen. So we're doing well.
You mentioned challenging COVID, and the numbers around here, you know, in the county, Mike, have been robust. We don't have to tell you that. Has that affected personnel much? Has that been a challenge?
Ron, that's really where the challenge is at, from my perspective, is making sure we have enough staff to provide the services on a daily basis, and that's really what it comes down to from my perspective. So, yes, it's been a challenge in all four of the buildings from time to time. Right now, as we speak, there's probably one of four buildings that's a little challenged, but not as bad as it was probably before Christmas. But so we're hanging in there.
I know USD 253 Emporia has announced non-school days, quite, you know, one for today and the possibility of, or actually one for tomorrow, I should say, one possibly, you know, more coming maybe later, depending on the COVID-19 need. Is a non-school days an approach that you are at least considering, or your board is considering here, if we see a greater impact on students or staff?
I think whenever you have a cluster outbreak within a building, that is always an option, to answer your question. But our first option is to just make sure we can staff the building and keep the building open, and that's where most of our efforts go into.
Mike, along the sides with COVID, and I want to shift off of this topic. I'd love to have shifted off of this topic earlier in the interview, but your district made a couple of adjustments, rather significant adjustments, as far as PPE and you know, more maintenance side of things here to alleviate COVID-19 at the early stages of the pandemic. Are those still effective here now?
I think they are, Chuck. From the air purification systems that were installed and the UV lighting, I don't know that we can tell you that there's data that supports what I'm saying, but obviously we think both from those two standpoints and how we changed our cleaning methods, it made a difference. And you know, even with the flu, especially last year, we thought it made a difference. But I do think it makes a difference, and I just appreciate all those things that we were able to do, because it wasn't just a short-term fix. It's a long-term fix down the road.
What are your thoughts on the Board of Education kind of reducing the requirements for substitute teachers during these pandemic times like we're in right now? Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm very supportive of that, Ron. I think most school districts, if not all, and I know we go through the same process with, you know, basically dropping some requirements or lowering them. But we still interview those candidates. We go through a process, and we will continue to do that to make sure they're in the background checks and that they're, you know, we feel like we have a good grasp on whether they're a fit to work with children or not. So it did allow some others to, candidates possibly, to come in. Probably our biggest advantage in this area is when Emporia State has graduates that come out at, you know, semester. We've captured a few of those that don't have a teaching job yet and helping us with substitutes. But overall, I think it was a good move. I think down the road you might see some, I know it's a temporary fix, but you might see some adjustments overall just to help with candidate pools for substitutes in general across the state. And those will be good conversations, and they'll be appropriate. And I think at the end of the day that we will be taking care of kids and hopefully have more candidates for substitutes.
Along those lines, have you had some of the younger candidates with that window opening up to those as young as 18? Have you had some of the 18, 19-year-olds starting to make those applications and start their processes forward?
Very minimal, Chuck, right now, but a few, to answer your question. And some of that is word getting out, too. And you know, staff is usually our biggest recruiters. They encourage people that they think are appropriate to fit that setting, and that's helpful and needed. And so as that word gets out, I think we'll see a few more.
You know, we're dealing with, the substitute pool right now, but overall, I know talking to you, but, as soon as the school year started, finding teachers has been a challenge over the years. Is that something that you think is still going to be challenging, Mike, is keeping the full-time teacher pool full?
Yeah, I think the tougher challenge we've yet to see, and some soups would argue with me on that it's already here, but at least in our area, it's I think the tougher challenges are yet to come because there's not that many young people or people in the pipeline to become teachers. And so that's going to continue to be a challenge, and in some areas it's already a challenge. But in our areas right now, so far we're filled up, but the pool of candidates when you have an opening is quite different and quite low once in any position.
Well, and going through what everybody's had to go through here, Mike, the past couple of years, recruitment is part of it, but I would assume so is retention, is it not?
Yeah, retention is that's a big factor, and it's always a challenging factor because you want to do the best you can. And so what is it that keeps people here? And I still believe it's the little things that you do well and you treat people well and you try to make sure that they're treated as professionals makes a difference. But we make efforts in that. It's actually, we have some board initiatives that we try to do. But it usually comes down to the little things because monetary-wise, there's only so far we can go in that world.
Mike Argerbright again joining us, USD 252 superintendent, as we continue here on our Newsmaker 2 segment here today. Mike, you mentioned here about the academic side of things. There's been some discussion about COVID-19 learning loss on the academic side. Have you seen any data that would indicate that you've had learning loss from COVID? And if you have, is it as you expected going into this, or is it maybe a little bit less than you may have feared?
I think overall, to your question, now that we're almost 2 years into this, a little less than I expected. I feel like our biggest loss came that in 2020, that spring, when we didn't provide probably for sure the opportunities for children and students. But the instructional loss was not very helpful, and we did have some math scores that we attributed to that. Our reading scores were pretty much on target back then, but our math scores took a dip, and we hired title math teachers because of that. So overall, and we've been in session, so that's a piece of that answer to your question, but that initial loss that we had, I felt like came from the first six months of the pandemic and just getting a new routine going.
Yeah, for the most part, you did not have a ton of remote learning going on, did you, Mike?
We did not. We offered it, and we still need to offer it for certain circumstances, and hopefully legislation changes in that world of that 40-hour limit, because it does offer some valid opportunities for teachers and students, especially for different reasons. It may not even be COVID, and so we need to hopefully get that changed back so that remote can be an opportunity without limitations. But no, we've been in session most of the time, Ron, and knock on wood, we hope to stay that way.
Mike, what are some of the different academic highlights that you've seen here so far? You can, you know, use COVID as a framework for this or take COVID out as a framework, but what are some of the academic highlights that you've seen here so far that continue to make you be proud of being part of USC 252?
Chuck, I think the main thing was when we were working on essential outcomes and indicators when we were actually, the whole state was shut down in 2020, we made a concerted effort to look at our accreditation process, and what you're hearing now is a piece of that, are those STAR awards, and making sure that's our focus, that's part of our accreditation, and really advancing those areas. And my admin team, I have to compliment them, because they weren't easy conversations with everything we were dealing with, but it just became our focus. And we really felt, and we still do, that's a well-rounded student at the end of the day, all those 8-star areas, and we need to do a better job. And we still feel that way. We need to do a better job in that world. So that became our focus, and to be the only district, private and public, in the state to receive 8-stars, that's a compliment to our teachers, our staff, and our admin team, and very proud of them for that.
Well, that certainly is something to hang your hat on. And, of course, you know, heading into this year, you had some pretty significant projects in your entire district. The work pretty much all done, Mike?
For the most part, on the bond. Are you talking the bond construction?
Yeah, sorry about that, yeah.
Yeah, the bond construction, we had some warranty issues we worked through last year that basically a lot of new flooring at the Olpe Attendance Center. And that is complete, and so just a few warranty areas, and now we're moving on, and our board is on just improvements each summer. We have some 1950 lockers that we're going to upgrade when the bids come in. When I say that, hopefully this summer. So we will continue rotation plans and upgrades as we can, just to keep our attendance centers up to date. And so some of those things are going on, Ron.
1950s lockers, you said?
Yeah, locker rooms. we do. We have two gymnasiums that were built in the early 50s, and so we have just one area that we have not updated locker rooms at Olpe, and we hope to get those accomplished. So it'll be exciting if we can get it done.
That's prior to retro. You know that?
That's classic, I think is what that is.
It is, yeah.
Mike, really quickly here, I know our time is running out, but take a look ahead here to the second semester. What do you have here on the calendar? You know, one of the things that comes up for Ron and I specifically is Honor Flight, and we're continuing for that end.
Yeah, our Honor Flight, we're waiting on the National Honor Flight Network for the guidelines that for the 2022 flying season. With COVID, that information has not came out. We do have a trip scheduled, and hopefully we will be able to do that in April, but we're trying to move forward with that, and it's on our board agenda next month too, but we are moving forward. We're just not sure about some things right now.
Is that flight full, Mike?
It will be full. We won't have any problem filling the flight. There were several, some because of COVID, some not, but the veterans that asked to just be moved forward and not go last fall, and we probably had between 15 and 18 that did that, closer to 18. So that's the list we will start with, and plus we have a long list outside of that too, Ron. So we won't have trouble filling it.
That's an incredible program. You've done such an outstanding job, you and your Honor Flight team. That is really sensational stuff. There, and we'd say Mr. Argabright is busy. His plate is full, but I think Mike has more than one plate. We should say his
and
plates
they're all full.
Are
yeah.
full. So how are things in Madison? Mr. Argabright is also the interim superintendent overseeing things in Madison. Things okay in Greenwood County?
They are going okay. Stephen Jowers does a very nice job of the day-to-day, just a nice, bright, young up-and-coming administrator, and is doing a great job, and their administrators there are doing a great job. So proud of them, and it's been fun to work with them.
Well, and we're going to be getting Mr. Argabright on in a different capacity here very shortly, as Mike is the drive chair for this year's United Way of the Flint Hills campaign. Are things going okay?
Yeah, they're going okay, Ron. We're over halfway to our goal, and
good.
We have a couple larger campaign, workplace campaigns coming in, Mickey said, probably in the next week or two, I think. And so, and then the auction coming up. Thank you for that, Ron.
Yeah.
KBOE. And so hopefully we can continue to move. I think we will, in the right direction. I'm just happy and pleased that the people that do contribute and the efforts that go into that because of the impact it has in our area is just tremendous. So thank you for all of the people that contribute and donate their time to the United Way.
Outstanding. Well, Mike, best of luck here with everything you've got going with Southern Lyon County, Madison, United Way of the Flint Hills, Newman Regional Health being on the board of directors there, and I really appreciate your time here with us, given everything you got cooking right now.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. The Lyon County League Tournament, just a shout-out to Ted and our principals and athletic directors for making all that happen. What a great opportunity for kids to play in that facility, and just the support that pours out from all the sponsors. We just appreciate it. It's a great opportunity for our kids, and we thank everyone that makes that happen.
Well, and you'll have a couple of former coaches that will receive some big-time recognition. Jesse Nelson, Carolyn Davis. Of course, Jesse was recently named the National United States Girls High School Coach of the Year.
Uh-huh.
Big-time stuff there. And I know the folks from the state will be there to handle some formal recognition there. So that's a nice honor, huh, Mike?
That's an incredible honor, and I would. It's important to say that team of coaches there, because Jesse would want it that way, and Jesse and Carolyn just years and years of service and positive outcomes for kids, and just hats off to them.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Yeah, Mike Argabright, Superintendent USD 252, amongst other things. Joining us on our Newsmaker 2 this morning, Chuck.
All right, and for those of you who would like to be on our morning show, well, the regularly scheduled slots are full, and we're starting to now schedule in some non-standard slots as well because of all the things that are happening. But you can always call us, 620-342-1400, or you can shoot us an email to kvue@kvue.com. We've got two interviews planned here for tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. Karina Sanchez joins us to discuss CASA projects and the ongoing need for volunteers. That'll be at 8:20. Mallory Burton joins us at 8:40 for the Newsmaker 3 as we preview upcoming annual meetings in person for the Lyon and Chase County Conservation Districts. That'll be tomorrow.
Our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th. Craig feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. Craig Barnwell, CB Financial. And we notice Craig out to we see him annually, refereeing at the Lyon County League basketball tournament. Thanks, Craig, for all you do there. It's 8:43. Good morning.
Wall Street opening right now after Monday's loss of 1,000 points before